The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Welcome back. The second hour is live, and if you are just joining us, either listening or watching, we've had quite a first hour. We had Heather Denich on live from Chicago. We began the program with Hendon Hooker and a more compelling conversation we have not had with a quarterback in a long time. It was fantastic. Let's get back to the calls in just a minute, but Nick Kelly will join us now talking about the University of Alabama. Nick, of course, with the Tuscaloosa News. Nick, great to see you again. Thank you for the time. Everyone's worried about Alabama as they begin this gauntlet of Arkansas and Tennessee on the road and a home game with Texas A&M. Give us the latest from Tuscaloosa. Good afternoon.
Great to be with you, Paul. Yeah, this Alabama team has mainly had some quizzes, if you will, the first couple weeks other than Texas. Now the tests begin. Now we're going to see how they really are going to be this season. I think we're going to get a real sense these next few weeks as to whether this team's a national title contender or not. I mean, you talk about these road trips, and these three teams coming into the year I thought would be the toughest matchups, and it's proven to be true. And we're going to find out if this Alabama team is really a contender, if it's a pretender.
Let's talk about what we know, and then we can start speculating. There's a lot of speculation that Alabama is getting healthier and getting players back. What do we know about that?
Yeah, I think some encouraging signs at receiver. You know, of course, they played better against Vanderbilt at receiver, but then also on the field, we saw guys like Tyler Harrell and JoJo Earl warming up. We had not seen that until that game. They've been both dealing with foot injuries that's kept them out so far this season. Both guys bring a lot of explosiveness, speed. So if they can get healthy and be back soon, which is kind of what we expected around this October time, is when those guys might be back. Some help is on the way for Bryce Young in that receiving corps because they have guys who can make plays, but not too much true explosiveness at receiver. Not guys who have that scary speed. And so if they can get Tyler Harrell back and get JoJo Earl in that offense, some good things are ahead for this offense.
And listen, we all know what Bryce Young is capable of. Is it more the dearth of healthy receivers, or is he maybe not playing at the same level? What do you see?
I see a Bryce Young that is playing at a similar level, if not even better than last year in some ways. I mean, he's playing well. It's just you have to develop that new chemistry with receivers. He had such a well-oiled machine with Jameson Williams, with John Metchie, and that group last year. And, of course, Bryce is back, but he has that basically whole new cast of supporting characters. That takes time to develop that chemistry. And like I mentioned, this team does not have has not yet had a Jameson Williams-type guy. Tyler Harrell could be similar with that speed, but when you basically have the best receiver in the country a year ago and you're playing with that all the time, that's going to make you look awfully good. And I think that with Jameson Williams off to the NFL, they've had to replace that, and that's not an easy thing to do. But I think Bryce Young is still playing at a very high level right now.
We talk about Will Anderson for Heisman, and that was the preseason conversation. He's still Will Anderson, but what would you say about his play so far this year?
Well, we're going to need to see more of that touchdown action from him if he's going to have a shot at the Heisman. You look historically at the guys who have won it who have not been offensive players, and Charles Woodson was making all kinds of plays all over the field. So he's going to maybe need another, you know, fumble. Pick six would be great, but I would not want to get in the way of him running with the football, I'll say that. But he's starting to ramp up, though, it seems. Texas maybe was not as strong a game for him, very uncharacteristic for him with the penalties. But the last couple games, we've been seeing more that Will Anderson, where he's affecting the offense, he's getting the way, he's creating problems for the rushing offensive game plans, and overall, he's just being more effective. So I think it's taken him a little bit of time to ramp up, but I think he's right on track to have a very similar year to last year.
Alabama has had one road game, and by no means is Texas an elite team. They've already lost twice, one to Alabama. They lost a game to Texas Tech the other day in Lubbock. What do we really know about this Alabama team through four games?
That's a great question. That's why I say that you know, these are some real exams coming up these next couple of weeks. The quizzes kind of give you a sense, you know, going back to that those school days where, okay, you know, I know a few things about this, but once you get to those tests, that reveals where you're really at in terms of your knowledge of the subject in school. And so I think it's a very similar kind of thing this week and the next couple of weeks where, yeah, we've learned some things about Alabama. Alabama looked impressive against Vanderbilt, but they should. And so now once they get these tougher tests, these tougher opponents, we're going to really find out if Alabama's good. And I don't have any reason to believe that they're not going to be good, but we're going to actually find out if that's true or not.
But Nick, to be a contrarian, just for the sake of argument, why should we believe that this road game is going to be different than the last road game or the one last year that ended the season in four overtimes or the one there was one good game and then the two other road games? Something about the road in Alabama. What is it?
I don't know. And frankly, that's a good question. I'm not sure that I have the answer to say that they are going to be great on the road. They're trying to emphasize that. Will Anderson, of course, talked about he wants the whole defense wants the opposing team's fans to be leaving the stadium by at least the end of the third quarter, ideally halftime. And so they're emphasizing that message this week. But whether that translates remains to be seen.
Nick Kelly joining us from Tuscaloosa. Many, many thanks, Nick. Thank you. We will talk. You're right. We'll know a lot more Saturday, but we don't know very much right now. And I think that's what's so interesting about this Alabama team. Let's grab some calls for some people who do know. Nick doesn't because he's a trained journalist. Let's get the guys who know. I guess I'm referring to Daryl from Columbia.
Daryl from Columbia? Well, not from Columbia, but you know what? Daryl does know, Paul.
Daryl from Columbus. I'm sorry. I spoke too soon. So what's up in Columbus today?
Paul, it ain't got nothing to do with the wide receivers of Alabama. That guy is all big time. Okay, here, what makes quarterbacks great? Okay, what can turn it make a great quarterback look average?
Hey, Daryl, if we're going to listen to you, we have to hear you better. Are you speaking to your phone outside?
You hear me better now?
Yeah,
you hear me better now?
Yeah, a lot better.
Okay, the problem in Alabama is the offensive line. That's where the problem is. It matters, man. Them guys is what they are the horses that pull the cart. Offensive line is what wins football games, okay? Defensive line is what wins football games. That's the problem. It ain't the receivers. It ain't the quarterback. Quarterback's still the same quarterback he was last year. Offensive line, Paul. Just watch. I guarantee you I'm correct on that. Paul, you just cut I'm in some slack, okay? I'm just going to let you know. I mean, Paul, look what he's going through, okay? He's about to lose his coach. I mean, you know how things look on the plains. I mean, you know, it's rough on an Auburn fan right now. I mean, they're down in the dumps big time. So I think you need to cut him just a little bit of slack. And also, I want to talk about this with you, okay? I don't understand. Okay, I'm going to use Georgia fans for example, and I use Alabama fans. Let me say this, okay? It doesn't matter if you win by 40 points and you go 12-0, you don't get any more than you do if you go 12-0 and win by 1 point. You still get the same thing. And these Georgia fans that are coming out here and freaking all out, they just need to, Paul, they remind me of the Alabama fans that's only been Alabama fans since Nick Saban's been there. They don't know. They don't know what the rough days are like, okay? They don't know what it's like to go 7-5 and 8-4. These times right now under Kirby Smart, they should be cherishing them, okay? Even though I think this is only the beginning, they're not going to last forever. It never lasts forever. But they should be cherishing them instead of worrying about only winning by 17 points. Do you agree?
Daryl, I don't get hung up on that stuff. To me, we all enjoy college football, but what happens after that is entirely up to you.
Well, I'll tell you this much. You can pump a Tennessee quarterback for the Heisman. Just keep feeding him that rat poison, Paul. Keep feeding him that rat poison because he's going to get the opportunity to prove that he's a Heisman-quality quarterback. Who has he played? Florida? Whoopee-doo. Pittsburgh? Whoopee-doo. Wait till he plays Alabama. Wait till he plays Georgia. Then we'll find out what he's made out of, all right? See you, Paul.
I don't know. I'm not sure what to make out of that. Paul is in Tennessee. You're on the air. Hello, Paul.
Paul, what's going on, my friend?
We are doing great. Thank you for the call.
Brother, love your show. First off, Paul, I just want to say thoughts and prayers to the people of Florida. Last week when we played them in Knoxville, they was my enemies. Today, they're our brothers and sisters. Thoughts and prayers to them, Paul. They got a bad storm down there, brother.
They got a terrible storm. You're right.
Yeah, second, Mr. Hooker that you had at the beginning of your show, Paul, and I tell you what, that is an exceptional young man, Paul, and I tell you what, if you had a daughter and they brought Mr. Hooker home to meet you or to meet anybody, Paul, that's a win. That's a win. That's a good young man right there, Paul, and he's got a bright, bright future ahead of him. Now, I want to say this. Darryl, that just got off the phone, is a smart man. I tell you, it's about the offensive line in Alabama. He's right. Y'all suck, Darryl. We know it. We know it. And we're coming to get you. And you better believe Hendon Hooker is the real deal, Paul. He's the real deal. But what I want to say is this, Paul, and I'll make it quick, brother, is fee-fi-fo-thumb. The sleeping giant has awoke. We've been asleep a long time, Paul, but that big old sleeping giant up in them mountains has done woke up. And he's ready, and he's hungry, and he's fixing to eat up all them 4- and 5-star talent out there and bring them to Knoxville, Paul. He is awoke. Fee-fi-fo-thumb, December the 7th, Paul, 1941. After the Pearl Harbor, the attack of Japanese on Pearl Harbor, they were congratulating the Japanese commander after that. His office was. And he interrupted them. You know what he said, Paul?
No.
He said, I fear all what we have done is awake a sleeping giant.
That's right.
Well, a sleeping giant's awake, Paul. God bless you. Go Vols.
Yeah. Could happen to that. Okay, we'll take a break after that World War II history. More to come, more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome all of you back. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Mike is up next.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Mike.
Hello. Hey, Paul, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, Paul, listen, I've just got a question for you and a couple of comments. First, the comments. Listen, you've got 2, maybe 3 callers that call in. Don't they realize that we're 4 weeks into football season and they're still worried more about disrespecting themselves than they are about football? So I've got a suggestion for that. Why don't we make Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays days that those guys on speed dial, they can't get in? And then we let the people that want to talk about football, especially on Friday, because that's the day before the big game.
Well, yeah. Well, the good thing about Friday, some people may not agree. We really don't have a lot of time for calls. So because we are on location and we're talking to guests primarily about the game. So there's not a more dedicated show to the games than anywhere than Friday's show. But you're right.
I'll buy that, Paul. I'll buy that. Well, how about Mondays and Wednesdays then?
Hey,
it just gets old.
Hey, Mike,
some of these
what about win. What about this? What about every day ending in Y?
Hey, that works for me. You know, hey, that really works, especially for these folks that live in Alabama. You know,
this thing on Monday Night Football where they have the two Manning brothers out now. They do what's called an alternate broadcast. I don't know if you've seen that or not. I haven't seen it, but I know it's popular. I wonder if if we should do that. We should have an alternate broadcast every day and have Iman and Daryl hosting it.
I'm not sure you'd have many followers after about two or three days.
But see, that's ultimately my goal to show, because I think the Imans and the Daryls and a few of the others think that literally the whole world is revolving around them on its axis. And so I think we find a channel for them. I don't know. It's not hard to find a channel these days. I mean, YouTube would probably give up one of its 8 million entries, and we could let them have it. And then we could play back the highlights of it on Tuesday. Imagine how entertaining it would be. Iman and Daryl and who else? We'll have to think about who else we want to put on that. Maybe Dave from Missouri. Dave, would you be interested in being part of the alternate Feinbaum cast?
Yeah, why not? But I'd be kind of boring, I think.
Oh, really? What gave you that idea? And by the way, I've also thought maybe we could put some of our guests on there.
Yeah, could do that. What I've called about, Paul, is about the military that you touched on yesterday.
Oh, yes.
And also about retirement, specifically some of the listeners said something about saving.
Right.
About retirement, don't wait too late. I did. I could not give it up. I was down to 4 hours a month being an electrician for 56 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and my last straw was I was trying to get up a 6-foot ladder just to change a simple light bulb in a dealership. And I made it up 2 steps, and I knew I couldn't do it. I got back down, folded up my ladder, threw it in the truck, went to the shop, and gave them the truck. So that's my story on retirement. Don't wait too late.
So that was 56 years into being an electrician.
Yes.
So during those moments when family would say, hey, Dave, you're whatever age you are, you've done this for 49 years, 50 years, 51 years, you've saved a couple of dollars, enjoy your life. What did you say in response?
Well, I would just say, right now, we got a couple of years in before Peggy had her stroke.
Right.
But, we enjoyed it, being at the lake and stuff.
But you felt like you had to keep going, though, right?
Pardon me?
But you felt like you needed to keep working.
Yeah. I don't know what it was, why I felt that way.
Well, Dave, I was talking to a guy right before, I enjoyed it. But I had a guy call me today, a business associate, and he's now entering that retirement zone. And he said, I've done this, I've done that. I still feel like I'm good at what I do. I still have energy. I've heard this from a million people. And I wonder, though, at some point, and I think Saban's not part of this conversation, but other coaches are, other people are. When you start trying to convince, are you trying to convince yourself? You're trying to convince your friends. You're trying to convince your wife. What is which one is it that kept you going?
It was myself.
Okay.
And it was 46 instead of 56. I'm
46,
sorry.
46. Okay.
But yeah, I just was for myself.
If you had been an electrician for 56 years, I was about to call 60 Minutes and have them do a profile of you, because that's a pretty remarkable run. Hey, thanks, Dave. Appreciate it very much. Colin is up next in Alabama. Hello, Colin.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
We're doing great.
Paul, not gonna lie, I'm feeling a little irritated today, so I thought there was no better time to call into the Paul Feinbaum show.
This is your outlet.
No, it's not my outlet. But look, I've been listening to this show just as long as Jim. I may not be 90 years old, but I've been listening since the early 2000s. So I got two things to talk about. One is Jim, unfortunately. The other is Greg McElroy. which one do you want to start with?
Let's start with McIlroy.
Okay. All right. I love Greg McIlroy as a person. All right. I met him when I was a student at Auburn. He was very nice. I can't say the same about some other quarterback that I've met, mainly AJ McCarron. But anyway, Greg was a great guy. He was nice.
Well, let me stop you there. I've met both of them as well, and sure. Let me say I agree with what you just said.
Yeah, fair enough. Greg's a great person. I don't think he's a bad person, but he's been making some calls that I just question. Last week he was questioning game day being in Knoxville, saying, "Oh, it's always in Knoxville. It should be in Duke or wherever." What is he talking about? Why would it not be in?
Game day had not been in Knoxville since 2016.
Right. Well, he was acting like it's there every year, which obviously it's not. You know, and if it wasn't there, why would it be at Duke? Why would it not be at Arkansas or at Jerry's World? You know, there was plenty of options for game day if he didn't think that the Tennessee game was special enough, which it obviously was. Anyway, I just thought that was a strange call. He wanted game day to be at Duke. I don't even know who Duke was playing.
Well, here's what I think he was referring to, I think. There was a big push by the media elite. That's a group of college football people on Twitter who are like a bad fraternity in college, and they all echo and mirror each other's opinions. One says something, and then five more say the same thing, and suddenly it becomes a new wave in the world. They were arguing for game day going to Kansas, where Duke was playing at Lawrence. I asked Reese Davis about that last week. And he said, "Yeah, we heard from them, but he said, but it was you know, be relevant for more than 5 minutes before game day decides to go to your campus."
Right, that's what I'm saying. I just didn't understand the call. And look, I'll never claim to know more about football than Greg McIlroy. Greg McIlroy obviously knows way more than I will ever know about football. But I just thought that was a strange call coming from him. And I listen to him in the mornings, you know, on my way to work.
Sure.
And stuff. So anyway, we can move on from Greg. What is wrong with Jim? When was the last time we've had Jim actually add any insightful information on football? When was the last time he even talked about football? I feel like all he does is call in to yell at
people. Well, he doesn't talk ball. That's something that's been going on now for many years.
Well, Paul, he used to. I've been listening since, you know, I was in middle school.
Well, he used to, but he doesn't anymore. And I can't remember exactly what prompted him to quit talking football. But he obviously –
I'm not here to talk.
Yeah, he just quit. He moved on. He had mastered that.
No one masters that. I just
– He did.
Every time – look, Jim's always had an attitude, but it just feels extra sour. And I just – I don't know. I feel bad for the guy. I enjoy listening to him, but I just wish he would focus a little more on, you know, sports and less about chastising callers, you know. And
well, Colin, I'll talk to him the next time we're together. We'll take a short break. We have to go to the break here. We started the show with Hendon Hooker live from Knoxville, and we've struggled to exceed that interview ever since. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we are heading back to the phones, and Gloria is up next in Birmingham. Hello, Gloria.
Hello.
Hi there.
Okay, is this Paul Feinbaum?
Yes, it sure is, Gloria. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm looking at TV, and it's not on there. He's with some blonde-headed lady talking.
Yeah, that's the story of my life, always with a blonde-headed lady when somebody Gloria, the television is a little bit behind the phone, so don't worry about that for a minute.
Okay. Like I said before, have patience with me. I'm 91, and Paul, we miss you in Alabama, in Birmingham, and all these people that's calling in about Saturday's game with Alabama. They're wrong because they will win it. But, you know, it won't be a walk away like some of the others have been. Before I lost my husband, we went to all of Alabama's games. And I just wanted to say hello to
you. Well, Gloria,
first
of all, we miss, my wife and I miss Alabama, too, very much. She's from Birmingham. And it's a very special place to both of us, and I'll be back there soon. Let me ask you, how long were you married to your husband?
70 years when he passed away.
Oh, my goodness.
And if he had lived till September 2nd this month, we would have been married 73 years.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
Paul, we were both 18.
18 years. I guess to
and
put it mildly.
He was in the Navy.
So he was in the Navy. That's it. My mother-in-law did the same thing, married a Navy man, and my mother, my dad was in the Army during the war.
Well, he came home on leave, and we had a blind date. On Wednesday, he asked me to marry him on Sunday, and we got married in 2 weeks.
Now,
you
listen,
do know I'm Doug's
I have to ask you about that, Gloria. I don't want to sound like your mother, but don't you think that was a little bit quick?
Well, it almost, when I came in that Sunday night and told her, she told me to better think about what I just said and go to bed. She was going to take all of her medicine.
Well,
And the next morning she told my dad, and he said, "Oh, hell, don't fix me no breakfast."
Put it mildly, you were children, essentially.
Right. Doug was born in 54. We got married in 49. He was born in 54. And my daughter, Terry, which she asked me all the time if everybody knows I have a daughter because Doug gets so much attention. But anyway,
let me ask you, considering, I'm joking about you guys getting married too early, but you made it more than 70 years. What kept you going?
Well, we made all of our decisions together. We loved each other very much. And I'm not saying we didn't have a misunderstanding several times, but, you know, it was nothing bad. We always worked it out. And we did everything together, Paul, and made all the decisions about our children and things that we wanted to do in life. And I miss him like everything.
Well, that's so sweet. Gloria, I've been married 33 years, and my wife and I, we don't have any disagreements at all. And you know why?
Why?
Because I agree with everything she says.
That's just about the way we were,
yeah,
too. I can assure you.
I learned from other people that... just keep your mouth shut and say, "Yes, ma'am, you're right, 100%, whatever you want to do."
I remember one time I got mad at Gordon, and I got in the car and told him I was going home to my mom and dad. And he said, "Well, let me know where you're going to stay." And I went around the block and came back. He met me at the door. He said, I knew you were going to come back.
That's funny. That is so cool. When did he pass away?
In 2019.
Well,
December 28th.
Well, I know just to put it mildly, he sounds like a pretty big football fan.
Well, we were, and Gordon was a supervisor at U.S. Steel.
Really?
You know, in Fairfield, and
of
then
course.
He was electronics company came in. It's a pipe mill, and they hired him there. When he retired from U.S. Steel and he went to work for them, he worked until he was 80.
Oh, my goodness. How long was he at U.S. Steel?
He was, let's see, because he was with Forrester Instruments.
Okay.
About 20-something years. I'm not sure about his age.
That's quite
a
career.
He passed away at 88.
And he retired
at 80.
And he worked until he was 80 years old?
80 years old.
Man.
Like I was telling you a while ago, we were both 18, and I'm 91 now. He would have been 91. We'll be in April.
Well, that's a...
This past April, he was 91, and my birthday's in May. Well, my voice is...
Well, I'll tell you what, Gloria, it sounds like you two had a wonderful marriage, and you give inspiration to everyone else.
Well, and you just tell these people, I tried to get you all last week, and my son was here one afternoon, and I said, Doug, do you want to talk to Paul? He said, Mother, I can call him when I want to. He's busy with the sports today.
Well,
but
funny.
Anyway, you tell him to calm down. Alabama's going to take Arkansas. It may not be by 60 or
no.
In the 60s or something, but they'll win it.
Well, Gloria, you continue to take care of yourself, and let's talk again soon.
I will do that, Paul. And like I say, we really miss you here, but I watch you most every afternoon.
Well, one more thing. My mother's name was Gloria, so it's obviously a very special name in my life. So you be well.
Well, that's so. Well, thank you for telling me that.
Well,
so
thank you.
Oh,
Gloria.
I had my picture made with Nick Saban when I was 80.
Oh my goodness!
And Doug took the picture to the university for him to sign, and there was a crowd around him, and he just put the glory from Nick, and Doug said, "Oh, Mom, I'll take it back," and I said, "No, no, I'm just going to tell everybody." He calls me Glory.
Now we're going to start. Hey, Glory, we're going to start some rumors now about you and Coach Saban.
I know. Yeah, he's a special person in everybody's life down here that's Alabama fans.
No doubt. Well, Glory, I hope to meet you soon, and you be well, and you take care of yourself. Thank you so much. Bob is up next. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Well, I'm sitting here in Lake Placid, Florida, and I got a hurricane barreling down on me, and I'm in about 40 to 50 mile an hour winds right this second.
Are you going to be able to ride it out or not?
Oh yeah, yeah. I've been through them since I was a kid, you know, and my dad taught me well, and I'm in the middle of the state, and it just happens to be coming right down on us too. But
right.
It's only like 40, 50 mile an hour gusts right now, but later on tonight it's supposed to get a lot worse. But you know, people may think I'm nuts, but this is what kind of fan I am to you.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, no, we obviously everybody in the country is watching this nonstop, and it just landed about an hour ago, and I'm sure the worst is
right.
Yet to come.
Right. I just wanted to ask you, are you guys planning on being in Tennessee with the nation?
I am pretty confident we will be. There's one or two things that still have to be worked out, but I would say the odds are pretty good.
Okay, because we met you there once before, me and my wife, and you know, we're planning on we got a scheduled trip there for the Tennessee game, so hope to see you there. I'm gonna bring my book with me this time and get it somebody. Yeah.
Well, I would be delighted. Well, Bob, make sure you come by. We'll certainly we'll be at the same place we always are up there on the hill, and we should know by the end of the weekend exactly what the plan is. That's 2 weeks from now, but I'm pretty sure we'll be there.
Excellent. All right, Paul, you take care.
Be safe. Take care of yourself, and that goes for everyone. I know most people in Florida right now, especially in the central part of the state, are probably either without power or watching other things, but if you are in touch with us, we are all thinking of you as that storm barrels down on the state and continues to move north later into Georgia and South Carolina. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back late during the second hour. We've had a busy hour, a couple hours. Hendon Hooker joining us at the top of the show. Legend is next.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call, brother. Appreciate it, man.
You got it.
Hey, Miss Glory, man, what a call, man. Wasn't that wonderful?
It was inspiring.
Man, that was refreshing, Paul. I got a black hat for Miss Glory, man. We love you, Miss Glory, 91 years old, cheering on the Tide. Man, that's what it's all about,
and,
Paul.
And
that
legend,
was so
what about,
refreshing.
I mean, is it too bold for me to suggest that she was flirting with Nick Saban?
Oh, yeah, she definitely got a thing for Nick. I tell you, if I was gay, I'd have a thing for Nick, too, man. Nick's a handsome man. I'm not that way, you know. And if you are, I got nothing against you. Each to his own, you know. I love women. But, you know, if I was gay, I'd be all over Nick, man. He's a handsome man. I tell you, every morning I get up and see that life-size picture, man, I say, woo, what a good-looking man. You know, I don't have a complex. You know, I can tell another man he's handsome. But it don't bother me, you know. I mean, but, Paul, you got the psycho sessions out of the way. Let's talk some football, man. Let's talk some football. I see online you said what game interests you the most. And, I mean, of course, it's going to be the Alabama-Arkansas game. And, you know, Paul, I came on here year after year talking about how we're going to beat down somebody by 40 points. I just don't believe it no more. So I might as well start telling the truth, man. And you've been telling the truth, too. Why should we believe that we're going to beat somebody by the spread when we never do it on the road? So I might as well just jump on board with Miss Gloria and say, hey, if we win by 1 point, I'm happy.
Well, I'm just trying to think about it. I mean, I saw something about Alabama being double-digit favorites. I mean, all these crazy things. But, you know, you think about last year, and you know the four road games, Alabama was lucky to win two of the four. They won one game they played well, and the other three they almost lost. One game they did lose. And then this year, I mean, you tell me, legend, what does that tell you?
It tells me that we're not going with our A game on the road. I mean, something's missing. And let me say this to the Alabama players, man. You represent the godfather of college football. We living and dying with every play. Now, I hear you, Will Anderson. I hear you, brother. We got the talent. But let me tell the Alabama players something. It's time to get the evil eye. The evil eye. When that Texas quarterback went down in the first quarter, the punter should have been the quarterback by the third quarter. You can get blood in your eyes. You got to become a shark. Represent. And we just don't do it on the road, Paul. Something's lacking. So I'm with Miss Gloria. If we win by one, I'm happy.
So which brings me to the question I have to ask you, legend. What are you going to do with your money this weekend?
It ain't going to be on Alabama minus 16. I promise you that. I've been burnt with that one too many times, brother. I've been burnt with that one too many times. Shoot, Paul, my money's going to be on the underdogs this week. I'm taking San Diego State. I'm taking Wake Forest. I'm taking North Carolina State. I'm taking all points this weekend, baby. But I'll tell you another game that interests me, Paul, is why is A&M an underdog to Mississippi State, a top five program, a national ranked program on the verge of greatness? If Alabama and Georgia was playing in Mississippi State, they'd both be favored by 20, and A&M is an underdog. How the hell does that happen, Paul? Can you explain it to me?
I don't know. That is crazy to think about.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, losing Anaya Smith, that's a devastating blow. That was the end of A&M season right there, in my opinion. Hey, Paul, you remember that time me, you, the Pirate, and Jackaroot hung out at a charity event?
And I
people
do.
Were buying pies?
I do remember that.
You remember that? Yeah, they were buying pies to throw at me and you. Me and you hung out with Jackaroot and had that bird chest fella from Nashville. What was his name? I forget. But has the radio show up there. Yeah, Bird Chest Clay Travis. Yeah, he was there with us that night. I almost whooped him that night. But I'll tell you something about the Pirate. He can win a game, man. That dude is definitely a shark. And, hey, Paul, if Georgia's number one, does that make Kent State like number four or number five? What a fraud! What a number one fraud! What's that wide receiver's name? McCloddle, McLevin? I mean, he don't scare nobody. Come on. You can have you can have Kevin Winslow. You can have Gonzalez. You can have John Mackey at tight end. If you got your best receiver is McLevin, you ain't the number one team in the country, Elf on the Shelf. I can tell you, that's a fraud right there if I ever seen one. That's a fraud. Hey, Paul, the last game I want to talk to you about, don't you agree that Kentucky If they can go in and beat Ole Miss this weekend, we finally can say, okay, Kentucky, you have arrived. Don't you agree with that?
No, I think you're right. And by the way, Legend, I don't mean to interrupt, but it just dawned on me, you know, we were talking about glory a minute ago.
Yes, sir.
It dawned on me who I was talking to, and I've talked to Gloria before. Do you know who she is?
No, I don't.
Her son happens to be a former United States senator.
Oh, hell. All right.
And by the way, it's not that's not Tommy Tuberville's mom either. He is a United States senator.
Let's hope not. Let's hope not, because that would be funny if she was.
His mother's name was, what was his mother's name? Olive, I think, because she called me once, reaming me about what I said about Tuberville. But now that he's a senator, we don't bother criticizing him anymore. Legend, thanks. I appreciate it. We're up against the break. It happened to be Gloria Jones. Her son is a former U.S. attorney in Alabama, and the former United States Senator Doug Jones. It took me a minute to figure out who I was talking to, but we will be right back after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.